Hey, all over the Geek Freaks. I am Frank, and today I'm joined by Alan Whatmore. How you doing, Alan?
Dude, I'm doing so well, and I'm so happy to be here like always.
Yeah. Today we're talking Grandma Chainsaw number 3. This is the third of the 4 series, and things are ramping up. Can you kind of break down a little bit what's going on?
Yeah. Where do we begin? So I hate to already start an episode like this, but spoiler warning, right? Like, I guess we kind of have to do that at this point. It sucks whenever you get so far into a series because you can't avoid it at this point because you'll be speaking just a little too vague, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so ultimately, Grandma Chainsaw, in a nutshell, follows a group of kids who happen to wind up on Grandma Hazel's doorstep, and they find out that evil has a perm. So that's the pitch, right?
Yeah.
But Grandma Chainsaw is so much fun, and we're getting to the end of the series, and we always plan this thing to be 4 issues, and I'm so sad that it's almost over. But where we are in the story now with issue 3, the twins, Gabby and Hayden, they survive their first encounter with Hazel. And after that, they run into a group in the woods called the Dead Squad. And people seem to really like the Dead Squad for some reason. I'll never understand it, but hey, whatever. It's not for me to determine. We got the Dead Squad. And then, they make it inside of Hazel's house, and then it's just pure insanity after that.
Yeah. The Haunted Mansion, but the shit's real.
Yes. And we get to meet one of our favorite characters that we've ever created together, and that is the Dollmaker.
The Dollmaker.
Yes. Character. Yeah. It's simple and easy, right? It does what it says on the label, just like Grandma Chainsaw.
Okay. So let's start off with the tagline, Evil Has a Perm. Clearly, you're mixing this humor and horror. How do you find that balance between the two?
I think finding the balance between the two is honest. It's a lot easier than what I thought that it would be. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is because simply, like, I have a really dark sense of humor anyway. So it just kind of came naturally to have something like that. We're big fans of Evil Dead and, of course, classic horror movies and all this stuff. So it was just one of those things where everything just seemed to kind of fall into place for us. Obviously, I mean, you've read Pocus Hocus. We never take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah. I mean, humor is kind of, even when you got a demon telling you jokes, you're on board. Hayden and Gabby's survival arc is clearly intense. Is there something about these characters that's keeping them alive? What is it about them that's like kind of keeping them above the fray?
So obviously, we always will determination, however you want to look at it, right? But the big thing about them is they're our tragic heroes. Like, they're the ones who you're rooting for, because in this slasher, we're rooting for everyone else to not make it. And what I mean by that is, if you read the series, because the other characters are just nightmares.
Yeah.
So, like, with Gabby and Hayden, like, we wanted to make at least 2 characters that were empathetic, and ones that the reader could be like, I actually want these ones to make it, because we don't want it to be just, I guess things could tire themselves out pretty quick, because that was the purpose of Grandma Chainsaw in the first place. Because we didn't want 4 issues of just some old lady with a chainsaw running around killing people. When you describe it at first, it's like, yeah, that's awesome. But then when we really thought about it, we're like, God, this is going to wear thin so fast.
I want to promise the readers who have not read this for some reason, it is definitely not that.
Yeah. So
it is far more than just a grandma with a chainsaw. So keep that in mind.
Like I said, and that's where, like, the genesis of, like, the Dollmaker, and trying to just be fun and creative. And, I think a lot of the slasher stuff lives by its kills. And so that's why we're always trying to think of just any sort of creative, over the top kills that we can, you know. The first one that comes to mind was the second kill that we had in Grandma Chainsaw, which was the elbows off the table kill.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because we were leading up to that. And then, you know, then we have smoking kills. And then, you know, we just really spiral down from there to, we finally get into the basement with that one sick couple that everybody knows, that just too much PDA. They're disgusting. Yeah. And then they get what's coming to them. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got plastic on the walls kind of situation.
Yeah.
So with the Doll Maker, and then we have the Dead Squad, we got a lot of names that feel like really good spinoffs, and you've done spinoffs before. Mm-hmm. Are you tempted to do any spinoffs from this four-part series?
Absolutely.
Yes?
Absolutely, yeah. A Dead Squad series, we've already tossed around the idea for it, and we've tossed around really what we would want to do with it. Mm-hmm. Because for those who don't know, you know, the Dead Squad is, God, Frank, I think like just kind of the personification of a lot of the stuff that we internalize, right? They're yeah. like, you know, they go by their gamer tags, and yes. you know, it's just like we're in that culture, and it's just funny just to see the people who exude that sometimes, right? And yeah. ultimately, a lot of the stuff too, like we're laughing at ourselves. Just because of how ridiculous some of the stuff is that we like and things like that, you know what I mean? So right. like, cause the Dead Squad is just, they just don't care. And it's kind of admirable.
Oh, well, I love them because they kind of remind me like the sweatiest part of Comic-Con, like that corner yeah. where you're like, oh, I'm good. Or like yeah. that guy on Discord where you're like, oh, he's getting on. I mean, I'm just going to hop off. I'm going to listen to
yeah,
music.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my Discord princess. Dead Squad. Yeah. My Discord yeah. kid. Yeah. Dude. So yeah, that's the thing too. So that's what we really wanted to do with that. Like we wanted, like we do with everything, we want them to be completely and utterly relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I know that guy. I've seen him before, or I've interacted with him, like you said, at like a Comic-Con, right? So there you go.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead a little bit behind the scenes here. Again, on this one, you're working with Brian again for the artwork. With this team that you guys have set forward, is it getting easier with all these books you guys are putting out now?
Yes and no. Okay. So it's easier from a standpoint of like everyone has such a nice even flow that it's, God, it's just perfect. I love working with these guys so much mm-hmm. because we all just get each other, and that's what's like super nice about it. And it's nice when you find that team that everyone can just collectively get together and decide, hey, this is what we're going to do. I like this. I like that. Blah, blah, blah. The part that gets hard about it, though, is we all inspire each other.
Yeah.
So we're all wanting to do a lot more ideas. Like it never slows down anymore. So then like, you know, we're always brainstorming like this will work. I think this will work. This will work too. You know, it's just, yeah. It's just one of those things, man. Like we're just, that's the hard part about it, because we all love working together so much, but there's only so much money mm-hmm. and there's only so much time that we can all invest in this stuff too, because, you know, like you've seen Brian's artwork. He definitely doesn't rush anything.
Yeah.
And that is not a criticism at all. That is him being very meticulous with how he approaches every page and all the characters' expressions. And, you know, we talked about this a while ago, Frank. This was Pocus Hocus, like number 2 or 3 that we talked about. Brian even went out of his way to watch classic Disney movies so he could capture character expressions for Pocus Hocus.
That's
because,
so
yeah, because I don't know if, you know, I might be speaking out of line here, but I don't know if Brian's done a lot of like comedy. Mm-hmm. Right. Because he does a lot of like, you know, action and horror, stuff like that. But then we always try to marry those mediums together. So, and it's just kind of cool to see him care that yeah. much, that he just wants to do a good job.
It's funny you bring that up. You know, it's no secret, I'm a big fan of Top Hat Studios and everything you guys make. There's something I saw that's an upcoming thing or whatever, and right away I was able to spot who worked on what. And I was like, damn, I've been hanging out. I've been watching these guys for too long. If yeah. I could tell, I know Brian's hand to work on this. I know exactly what's yep. going on here. So it's just a tight-knit group, and I freaking love it. It's so fun to watch. Yep.
Well, thank you so much, man. Yeah. And like, even with like our future titles that we have coming out, because like, you know, we have parts of scripts written and mm-hmm. Brian's done test pages for stuff that we know will not see the light of day for a while because, yeah. you know, right now, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, here in a little bit, but our plan is Grandma 3, we'll finish that up. Grandma 4, we'll end the series. And then Horse in Hell number 2, Kit Wallace is going to do that. And then, we're going to start back on Pocus Hocus number 6. So then after that, then we'll start to be able to kind of squeeze in a couple more projects here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to lock up Grandma Chainsaw first. And then, hey, we got to have, you know, the Doll Maker spinoff and all that's got to be coming in the future too.
Man. And yeah. And all the stuff that we've done for Roseblood Manor too.
Like that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we've got Roseblood Manor 4 that's running live on Kickstarter too. Brian and I put a story in that.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just, man, I just love working with these guys so much, you know?
Yeah. I want to make sure we include a link to Roseblood as well. So you guys can go down in the description and check that out.
Yeah. And art for that one is actually done by Ruben Moco. Like he's awesome too, mm-hmm. to deal with. He's done a lot of work for Source Point Press and for Garrett Gunn. Yeah, Ruben, and he's just a stand-up guy too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So clearly, just, you know, day one inspiration has got to be Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. What other horror inspirations are you bringing into this project?
Well, Evil Dead is like a big one, right? So we were talking about this before too, and like I really like, you know, obviously Jason stuff, Friday 13th. And then I think the reason why I liked Freddy Krueger so much is because it's over the top and over stylized, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is a lot of the stuff that we drew inspiration from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of drop a little bit of breadcrumbs here and there just so that way you kind of know where I don't want to say where the story's going, but you know, it's about to get crazy. Like, yes. So, and I think a lot of Nightmare on Elm Street inspired us for that because the suspension of disbelief, whenever you have to read a book or watch anything that's fiction, I mean, it's there, but sometimes you can look at it and just be like, oh my God, that would never happen. Right.
Yeah.
So granted with Grandma Chainsaw probably would never happen, but I think if you embrace it and you go full in, then the possibilities are endless with where you can take the reader. And that's why I love Nightmare on Elm Street stuff so much. And of course, Evil Dead, because it's crazy, it's wacky, and it knows what it is. And it's just trying to have fun.
It's funny because my favorite horror movies are Halloween movies, the Michael Myers.
Right.
And I think it might be because of the complete opposite. Like, I appreciate all the Freddy Krueger stuff. Mm-hmm. Definitely amazing, of course. I grew up, you know, 90s kid, so I definitely saw a lot of it. But Mike Myers, we were just talking about this on another Geek Freaks, where just give him a knife and a grudge and a, you know, room, a house full of teenagers, and that's the movie.
Dude, it's crazy, right? Because of how simple of a premise it is, but it works. So what'd you think about Halloween Ends, Frank?
I was like, why do I give a crap about this kid's angsty attitude?
Yeah. Oh God, that was so bad. Tough. Okay, but that's another podcast.
Yeah, Halloween's with a new company now. Let's see what they can do. Blumhouse, normally I trust, but I'm happy to see who else is going to be touching this.
Yeah.
It'll be good. Okay, so you're getting all this inspiration from stuff that you already love, Freddy Krueger and whatnot. How do you share that inspiration with the rest of the team so that they see the same vision that you're envisioning?
I think at this point it's a hive mind.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, like we've all worked together for so long, and granted, you know, we would put, if we felt like we needed to, we would put things in there, like saying, you know, this is okay. So for example, the scene where Liz dies in Grandma Chainsaw issue 1, when Hazel leans out and puts her hands on top of her head, that was a reference to the poster for Nightmare on Elm Street. And mm-hmm. and we put that in the description, you know, Brian, this is a reference to Nightmare on Elm Street, even they probably would have gotten it anyway, but Brian, he's sneaky. He does stuff that we don't catch until after the fact. Okay, so here's this is something that Brian did.
Okay.
I wish I could remember the name of it. I could remember it if I wasn't on your podcast right now.
Of course.
What is the demon's name in The Exorcist?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I can remember everything that's going down. I just don't know any of the names. Oh, and I know Zelda for some reason. I remember Zelda of all people in that movie.
Okay, yeah. I am Googling as we do this.
That's Poltergeist, I think. Now, God damn it.
Pazuzu.
Okay, there we go. Okay. Yeah.
So, Brian put a statue of Pazuzu in Grandma Chainsaw number one, and that's the angel statue that they used to throw out the window. Because in the script, we wrote this, you know, just a porcelain angel statue, just because my grandma has one. Like, everyone's grandma has one.
Of course.
So we thought, like, yeah, let's just throw a porcelain angel statue in here. And Brian made it Pazuzu, which is so funny. And then in Grandma Chainsaw issue two, whenever Hayden is knighted and given his shield, if you're listening to this and you say, what the hell is he talking about? I promise you, it makes sense if you read the book.
Yes.
Yeah. So when Hayden's getting knighted and he's handed his shield, it's actually the crest that's on Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah. I remember you told me that one before.
Yeah. So it's just, you know what I mean? It's just little stuff like that. Like, all of us are, and that's how you know that, like, Brian's having a good time. Right.
Because he's put it.
Yeah. We're all making just jokes and references to stuff, and we're just having a blast. Yeah.
Yeah. That is so cool. Okay. So with the add-on stuff, we got, you know, we got Hocus Hocus. We're getting some Horse in Hell. It does kind of sound like it's an extended universe. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but as things are moving forward, do you think you'll ever connect all these worlds?
Of course I'd like to say yes. Right.
Okay.
Cool. Because I don't know if you caught this in Grandma 2, whenever we reveal the doll maker, and all the dolls start rushing at our team, Pocus, Emily, and the demon are in the dolls as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Brian drew them. Yeah, I don't know if you have the PDF up or anything, but yeah, if you go back and look at it, as the dolls are all saying dance, yeah, you see Pocus, Emily, and the demon all are on a shelf together jumping down.
That is so incredible.
It's just, like I said, it's just little stuff like that, man, that we try to do to have fun.
Oh, the head cannon's going crazy now, because I'm like, okay, did they get there because they represent hell now? Like, oh man, that's crazy.
Yeah, we definitely always want to do I would love to do a Pocus meets Hazel type thing.
I am so on board with that. Yeah. That would be
great. I think we could easily do a one shot with that.
Yeah. That'd be a good Halloween special.
Yeah.
All right. As somebody who traditionally deals with this dark humor and the horror genre, is there any advice you'd give to future writers that are thinking about getting into this and taking a dive into the horror genre?
Yeah. You know, this is what's weird. Like, and this is going to sound like an oxymoron whenever I say this, but like, nothing is truly original anymore, so write whatever you want. Right? Like, because there's an idea there, right? So if you feel strongly enough about an idea that you have, who cares? You guys have no idea how many times no one has read our book because they think it's just Texas Chainsaw Massacre with an old lady. You know what I mean? But yeah. Hey, but yeah, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, whenever you have to do, and that's what's hard about pitching your work, because whenever you have to pitch your work and, you know, in a log line or whatever, and they say, all right, tell me what your book is about in two sentences. How do you sum up Grandma Chainsaw in two sentences from what you read? Right. Oh, so, you know, and the same thing goes with Pocus Hocus. So then, you know, Pocus Hocus sounds like a Faustian ripoff. Grandma Chainsaw, in short, sounds like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre ripoff, but I promise you, just stick with the story that you want, and the audience will find it, and they will pick it up and understand that your book is different. So
yeah,
just follow your truth. Like, someone's always going to compare your stuff to someone else, and there's nothing you can do. We're all guilty of it when we watch movies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You watch a sequel to a movie. What's the first thing you do? Compare it to the one before it, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah. It's just
even
crazy.
In the world of podcasting, there's something you'll see if somebody do something, you're like, oh, that's a good idea. Let me put my language on it or whatever, my branding on that, kind of get it at my feel.
And that's what makes us all better.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what keeps everything fresh. And, you know, yeah, a good idea is great, but how do you make that good idea better? Exactly. So, you know, it's, and I think, again, like I said, just stick to what you know, stick to your guns, because you'll get there.
It is funny how many times I've tried to, I have explained the Pocus Hocus story to people. And I've now gotten to the point, as you know, for the story, there's not necessarily a hard shift, but there's a very major character that shows up in the newer books. And so I've been like literally the Christmas party that we had at my house for Geek Freaks Network. And I'm like, hold on, let me just go get it. And then I bring it out. I'm like, look at this chick. Look at this entry scene of her like assassin. Look how cool this is. So I'm like, I just got to show you. This is a character.
And everyone's like,
No, seriously. And then matter of fact, spoiler, this is a bit old now, but we ended up giving everybody a trade book. I don't know if you remember that, but we got trade books for everybody. So they all went home with a copy too of the first trade, but that's a, man, I'm a big Pocus fan.
we are too. And I can't wait for us to dive back into that series. So definitely long overdue, and everyone on the team's excited, but it's kind of like knowing you're about to finish a race, right?
Right.
That's why we decided, hey, let's finish Grandma, because we're so close. So let's I don't want to say like, well, I just want to finish it just so I could be done with it. Like, we want to finish it because we're so excited.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't wait to get to the punchline or punchline, not even comedy, but well,
yeah,
but
No, it's wild, man. I can't wait for you to see it.
All right. Is there, can you tell everybody where they can find you and where they can find Grandma Chainsaw number 3?
Yeah. Obviously, like, you know, socials are one thing, but it's so easy to get bogged down in the algorithm. Following us on Kickstarter is the best thing that you could do. Or following our newsletter, thetophatstudios.substack.com. Following us there would be great too. But yeah, just literally going to Kickstarter, typing in Grandma Chainsaw. We're the only idiots that would ever name their project that. So you'll find it there pretty easy. And then just follow our account there. So, you know, you can hop in whenever you're ready, because we always try to do catch up tiers. So we always try to do things and have add-ons, like, you know, we have people that are back in Pocus Hocus number 4 and 5 in this campaign, just because they happen to miss the other ones. So yeah, it's just stuff like that.
I do want to throw in there, as somebody who is involved in many Kickstarters, you guys don't overdo it. And I appreciate that, because there are a lot of people who I literally get an email every 2 weeks from, and I'm just like, I'm happy you're getting a lot of stuff done on your comic book. Let me know when there's like the next one's coming out or something.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Dude, I don't know if I could mentally do that, because like running Kickstarters are, you know, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it really is. You got Joey helping out too, but I mean, I know that it's definitely not easy for sure.
Yeah, dude, that's the thing. Like, you know, we have a great team behind us, and you know, of course, I always want to give a shout out to the team. You know, my co-writer Will, he's my rock, and then you know, Brian, I cannot say enough good things about him. Dave, of course, just our letter and designer, and he is kind of, whether he wants to admit it or not, he's like the dad of us all. You know what I mean? He tells us what we can and should not do. And then, of course, callers on this issue, Carrie Salveo, she is awesome. She definitely fit right into the mold with what we were doing. And she's just, I can't wait for you guys to see her work.
Yeah. Will is always doing shit, by the way. Like, if you guys follow him on Instagram, like acting and like random, like, don't you have other things, like a job? Like, what?
Yeah.
He's always doing stuff.
Well, his job fits in with what he's doing. He's the director of the art gallery here at the Tamarack, which is a giant tourist exhibit. So yeah, he works out there.
Yeah, that's a fun life. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he loves it. It's stressful, man. Like, especially when he has to hang new shows and stuff like that. But yeah, he loves it.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for us today. Please head to the description, follow up on everything Grandma Chainsaw. We're going to be keeping it up. We're going to be making an article on the website, as we have been doing lately. So check that out too. We'll get you some images. And follow Grandpa Chainsaw and everything else, Top Hat Studio.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Frank, again, too.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.